These are five of our seniors, and
are you guys excited?
Yeah.
They're very nervous. When I told them the order that they were going to be talking this morning, they begged me to switch the order up. Of course, the ones at the end didn't. The ones at the beginning begged to have the order switched up. And of course, as kind as I am, I said absolutely not. And I think what you're going to hear today is going to be powerful, and I'm very excited. They're going to share their testimony, if you will. One of the things that we've been talking about throughout the summer, we talked about it at camp, is why choose Jesus? Out of all the options that are out there, and non-options, why Jesus? Why pick him? Why is he special? Why does he stand out? Why not pick Muhammad? Why not pick Buddha? Why not be a Mormon? I mean, there are a lot of options out there, right? Why Jesus? And that's what they're going to tell you today. Each one of them are going to share their testimony with that specific thought in mind, why they chose Jesus Christ. Why is he their Lord? Why don't they follow Muhammad? Why don't they follow these other options that are out there? Last week, we talked a lot about love. We talked about our own love and what that definition of love toward God really means, right? We talked about the lordship of Jesus Christ and how you don't have a Savior if you won't have a Lord, right? And there's truth in that. The thing that it all boils down to, and this is one of the things we talked about extensively at camp, is that to choose Jesus, or to choose anyone, you have to believe that there is such a thing as absolute truth. There are things that are true no matter what, no matter what age you are, no matter what generation you are, no matter when you were born or where you grew up, that are absolutely true no matter what, right? But see, our world doesn't believe that. The world believes that everything is relative. Well, it kind of depends. It's an interesting statement to say that truth is relative, because that statement in and of itself is an absolute. And it defeats itself. If you think about it too much, it'll give you a headache. So what they're going to do is share a little bit about their testimony and why they chose Jesus. And I'm going to move over to the side and get out of the way. And the first one up, and he's so excited, is Caleb LeBrot. Caleb, you can take the stand up there. Or if you want to move around, you can use this.
It doesn't matter. I'll just use this.
He's a little bitty guy.
Thanks, Jerry. So, why I chose Jesus... You know what, Jerry? Let me see.
I thought you might walk.
So, why I chose Jesus is to be in my life is my adoption. I know I've told this story many times, but this is a story I'll never forget. And with my adoption, I feel God has put me on a path to where I know that he is the one and only. And I just think to myself, what would I do if I hadn't been adopted by my mom and dad? And today I think I could be in a worse place with a bad home, not even knowing God, or something worse than that, which I don't know what could be worse than that. And sometimes I'm grateful that I have what I have today because of God. And knowing all that, this led to myself wanting to know more and be involved with God at a young age, but I didn't really understand how much until I met Jerry. And I started going on mission trips with Jerry, being able to experience God and learning so much more about who and what he has done for me and everyone. I think that with everything I have experienced in my life, there was no mistaking it. The fact that God is for sure real and that he has blessed me with everything I need and with what I have today and where I am today. I couldn't be more happier to know that he will forever be in my life, and I hope I get to share God with whoever I marry or my kids.
See? completely painless, right? So that is Caleb Allen LeBrot. These are his pictures, and he's so excited about these too. I'm pretty sure it's because his sister turned them in and he didn't get to disapprove of them. Oh, sorry, too late. Go ahead, music's on. Sleeps like that. Last year on mission trip, I'll try to tell a short story about each person. Last year on mission trip, I took my Jeep to pull the trailer, and Caleb wanted to ride with me on the way there. Well, the only seat that Caleb will fit in is the front seat. And he did not ride with me this year. He did ask, I was like, no, Caleb, no, you can't. Why? Because last year, he sat in the front passenger seat and slept, much like you see in that picture, like this. And I'm trying to shift gears, because I have a manual transmission, and every time I'm trying to go to fifth or sixth gear, I'm running into this guy's beefy legs, and I can't shift gears. And he can't stay awake in a car, so we just had to move him to a different car. So that's Caleb Allen LeBrot. Give him a hand, please. When I hear the term gentle giant, this is who I think of. He is an awesome young man and is going to be doing some great things in construction work. Really proud of you, Caleb, and good man that you are and good man that you are going to continue to be. Up next, after all the laughing at her brother, is Desiree Irene LeBrot. Desiree, you want this one or that one?
I'll stand.
Just hold it up to your face.
Hi. I'm Desiree, if you didn't already know. Okay. Swoop. Okay. So going off of what Jerry had to say, why choose Jesus? For the longest, that was hard for me. Yes, I grew up in the church, but I didn't really get involved in church until I got older. When I was about 9 or 10, my parents got divorced and started going to different churches. That was hard for me because I'd get involved in one and then I would leave and go to the different church for a few weeks. Whoop, lost my place. Okay. I think what helped me the most was going on mission trips and going to camp, especially camp this year. So back in June, I went to High Teen Week at Camp Neotes, and the theme of the week was, so what? Why should I give my life to Jesus? I think it was like the second day we had Bible class, and the teacher was Jaylee Netherton. In her class, at the beginning, she had us read these scriptures while listening to the song that I can't remember. Through the things that I read, the verse that stuck to me the most was Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. It says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." Going back. Whoop. So that verse stuck with me for the rest of the week. So jumping to the last night of camp, we had a bonfire. And during this bonfire, Matt Earnhardt, the director of the week, he gave us like an opportunity to speak about God sightings or just reflect on how camp went. And so I don't remember how many people went up, but I remember this moment of silence where no one got up and it was just kind of quiet. And I was, in my head, I was thinking to myself, I was like, okay, now's your time. Stand up and go say something. And I was fighting myself for a minute until I did, and I'm glad I did. I spoke, and at the end I said that being at camp was my God sighting for me to be baptized. And... thank you. And I was baptized by the lovely Isabel White. And I've come a long way, and I'm ready to continue learning and diving deeper into my faith. So I forgot to mention in my paragraph, I forgot to mention answer the question. So sorry. Sorry, Jerry. But I did answer it. So why? Stop. So why I chose Jesus? Well, for me, it wasn't like choosing like what to eat. It was more of like what I believed in. Faith is defined as complete trust or confidence in someone or something. It's like teachers. I put my full trust in them to teach me things that I don't know. When I look at this world, I see hope that things will be better. My favorite quote is, "Seeing is believing, but sometimes the most real things in the world are things we can't see." And I believe that. It's most important to me to believe that there's something better than myself out there. I've heard all my life to make my faith my own, and this is one step in that direction. And sometimes I feel it too, especially in music. The words of the songs, or the way they are expressed, I just feel something that I can't describe, but I know it's there, and I believe that. So why I choose Jesus is because I believe in him, I believe in the name of Jesus, and that there is no one higher nor greater than our God.
So these are Desiree's pictures.
Thank you.
Desiree Irene Labrat. If you could push that space bar again, Bill, there's a picture that didn't get in there. I think this is so cute of Desiree. And then this one, which maybe a, I don't know, a view of things to come. I don't know. Desiree, we love you. And thank you for your contribution to this student ministry. Next is Mr. Dane Everett Harris. So come on up, Dane.
Hello. I have terrible stage fright, just to let you know. So, well,
we could be here a while.
I've never been adopted, or I've never had any immediate family member die or anything like that, but what I have had was a very strong and loving family and church family to come to, and I think that's where I owe most of my Christian faith to, and you know, people like Jerry and my youth group, they all contribute so much to my belief and everything like that. So the other day, Jerry sent out a group message. I wasn't here on Wednesday, and he said, send me your speech for Sunday. And I was like, all right. So I typed it up in like 2 minutes and sent it to him. And he said, he was like, nice, nice. So let's see. All right, I wrote this. I see the way Christians and my family treat other people of different beliefs and faiths or lifestyles, and we accept them with open arms. We love people because we are all children of God. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, or purple. Doesn't matter if you like men or women, or you believe in a different gender. God loves us all. His Son paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we didn't have to. All we got to do is be Jesus in the world around us, like a light in a dark tunnel. I think being surrounded and surrounding yourself with other Christians makes it a lot easier because we can reignite each other when we're blown out in the walk with God. And yeah, I've been to camp mission trips since like 2009, and I think the biggest moment I've had in any of those was in New York. We went to the 9/11 Memorial Museum, and in the middle of the museum there was a King James version of the Bible melted into that was like melted from the explosions and everything, but there was a passage that was open to, and it was this: ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And that kind of opened my eyes, and that kind of made me realize that it's a battle. It's not easy being a Christian. It's hard work. There's a lot of sacrifices. And, you know, you got to cut people off sometimes and bring new people in. But it's all part of the walk with God. So I think that's about it. So,
and Dane Everett Harris, these are his pictures right here. Get ready.
Thank you.
Dane Everett Harris. There was a picture, I didn't put it up there, but I've got it next that I came across. I was like, this looks really familiar. Would you hit that space bar again? Because it reminded me of a picture that I took of Dane, who took Caleb's spot in my car. If you could go to the next slide. Some things never change. In fact, I've got another picture of that. That's... Look at Marshall in the background. I don't know if you can see. This is the help I get driving. They're all dead asleep. I had texted the seniors the other day and asked them if they had, you know, a favorite song or something that was super close to their heart to text it to me and let me know what it is so that I could, you know, incorporate it in the service. This is what Dane texted me. Shut Dido. Confidence, and Take Me to Heaven, the original Sister Act Broadway version. Well, we're not singing that this morning, but Dane Everett Harris, could you give him a hand for me, please? And up next is Isabel Victoria Ann White. Come on up, Isabel. Poor Isabel is all by herself, by in the sense that you got two cousins graduating, you got two sets of brothers and sisters, and she's got like nobody. Except these guys. I don't know if you're watching. You all are watching the pictures. I've already seen them. I'm enjoying watching them while they're watching the pictures. It's fun to watch how they react to one another. Such a fun group of kids. Love these guys. Come on up, Isabel.
Hi. I'm very terrified. Okay. Well, my name's Isabel, if you don't know. And I also go by Izzy, but it doesn't really matter. Well, I grew up in the church literally since, like, birth, which is crazy because I live, like, an hour away. And so I just want to say thank you to my parents for driving me every day for, like, 18 years. Because personally, I don't think that... I sound like I'm going to cry, but I'm not. I don't think I would believe in God if, like, they didn't take me to church. And so that's a big thing. And so I'm just really thankful for that. And we've tried, like, different churches, like, close to the home. But, like, it just... Every time we came out, we were like, we just want to go back to Florissant. Like, it just never felt the same. I didn't really start exploring my faith until, like, 2014... We went to, like, this fall refuge, and something hit me, and it changed me. It was, like, the first time I discovered, like, a spiritual high, I guess. And it was pretty great. I ended up getting back from fall refuge, and, like, a few weeks later, I ended up getting baptized in November of 2014. And now over the next three years, I was pretty active in the church, went to most Sundays, youth group events, but I wasn't really going anywhere with my faith. I was pretty much just a lukewarm Christian for a long time. It wasn't until about February 2017 when I started noticing God more in my life. I ended up listening in class again, and after winter retreat, I really taking it to heart, reading the Bible again and praying again. And then summer started, and we had like mission trip and camp, which helped a lot. And at camp, when I baptized her, Desiree, this year. But the summer of 2017 was a pretty big eye-opener for me personally, because I figured out I had a lot of bad people in my life that was straying me from my faith. After camp, I started going to Wednesday classes, which was a lot because, again, how far I live out. And it was just always worth it because you get to be with God around other people that also want to be with God. So it was pretty great. Now I am definitely growing in my faith more and more every day. I'm making progress into my walk with Christ. I felt the closest to God I've ever been down at camp this summer, and it's just growing day by day. The only thing I have to say is, like, pay attention to the people around you because, like, they're the biggest influences in your life. So, yeah, that's it.
And these are Isabel's pictures. I do. So, story about Isabel. Isabel and I have been close even since way before she was in the youth group. Even when she was little, her mom, dad, her grandma would bring her to me every Sunday, and we would talk and have a little chat and just had that special bond that you don't always have. And in fact, as a little child, she would bring me Christmas gifts. And I still have many of them in my office on my shelves. And one thing I have in particular, I have a file in my office that I call my encouragement file. And anytime I get down or somebody gets mad at me at church, I go open my encouragement file and read all the nice things people have said about me. And so it's how I survive. But I have this card that I have not ever gotten rid of from Isabel. And it's one of those cards that you can record your own voice message, and then you know when the person opens it. So I want you to hear Isabel telling me Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Taylor. I love you, Isabel.
Now you can tell, by the way, did you hear that really clearly? We're going to do it again, Isabel. Listen close.
Merry Christmas, Taylor. I love you, Isabel.
See, if that doesn't brighten your day, I don't know what does. Isabel, I love you. Isabel Victoria Ann White, ladies and gentlemen. And last but not least, I would like to invite Marshall McBain to come up. You want this mic or that one? Okay.
Okay. So it's kind of weird. I don't talk on microphones very much or stand in front of a big crowd either. So, just bear with me. All right, well, I grew up in the church my whole life, so I've never really felt like I've had to, like, choose Jesus. And I've never given it too much thought just because, like, he's so prevalent in my life. But, so why do I choose Jesus? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And so just to be real, like, I'd much rather spend an eternity in heaven having fun with people I love than burning in hell with the devil. So, with that being said, sorry, I lost my spot. I choose Jesus because of the loving and accepting and compassionate person that he was and still is. You choose to your friends to be kind and like-minded and nice to you and all that, so why not choose a God that is the same way? So I really don't have too much to say, but whenever I was younger, I made the decision to get baptized, but realizing or looking back on it, it wasn't really like I wasn't like mature in like the Christianity like mindset and all that. Everybody was getting baptized, so I was like, oh, let me get baptized too. So like I really kind of just got wet. Like I didn't fully grasp it. I didn't surrender myself to God. And so I want to make that decision again today. I guess after, like, you guys see my face and all that, so. Yeah, that's really all I have to say, though, so.
So what he's saying is, at the end of service, Marshall's dad's going to come up here and baptize him today. So praise God. So these are Marshall's pictures. Thank you. Quick story about Marshall. Probably not as funny as the others, but this happened earlier this year. Took a group of students to Winterfest at Gatlinburg in Tennessee this year, and the whole weekend was teaching about Romans 8. And at the end of one of the evening sessions, the person that was speaking was having students stand up for different reasons that he would call out, and we would pray over those students, and people would gather around them and lay hands on them and pray over them, and they'd have them sit down and have another group of students that were going to be doing something. We'd pray for them, have them sit down, and finally he asked for students to stand up that felt like they were being called into ministry, into full-time ministry. And we were sitting there, and we were all just waiting for everybody to stand up. And finally, out of the corner of my eye, I see Marshall stand up, which kind of took me by surprise. I'd never heard him talk about that ever, I don't think, in all the years that I've known him. And so I walked over to Marshall, and I put my arms around him, and I hugged him, and I said, "I'm so proud of you for standing up and choosing this." And he said, "Jerry, I didn't stand up. God stood me up." And he said he was sitting in his chair with his eyes closed going, I know I should. And God's tugging on his heart. And the next thing he knew, he was standing up. He wasn't sitting down anymore. And so Marshall is going to York College this fall, and he's going to be pursuing a degree in youth ministry, which I'm really excited about for him. So anyway, good times. I hope that these are your kids. You know, if you're a part of this church, you have had these kids in Bible class as little bitty guys and girls, and you have helped raise them. And so I would like to, if you're a parent, first of all, or a grandparent of any of these young people, or Chris and CJ, who we saw earlier, would you please stand up, please? If you're a parent, can we give these folks a hand? Well done. Really well done. Now, keep your eyes open. If you have taught any of these students throughout the years, Parents Day, if you have taught, I don't care how young they were, if you taught them in CWH, in Spark, in whatever, please stand up so that they can see the people that have invested themselves in their lives so that you can be the people that you are. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated. I wish that you could go on mission trip with us sometime. One of the things that's always so special to me on mission trip is one of our last nights when we kind of dedicate our devotional that evening to our seniors. And I wish you could see the tears and feel the emotions that are in that room when the students are telling them how much they love them and how much they've meant to them, and then when they give the other students advice. It is a powerful moment for me. Maybe I'm just too emotional, I don't know. But it's a powerful moment to me, just that the feeling of love that is in that room. But why choose Jesus over all the other options? I can think of a lot of reasons, and this is just kind of to end things today, but the passage that sticks out to me and always will, and it frustrates me because I worry that this passage of Scripture is just really a bumper sticker for most people, but I think it is so full of power, and it is John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That's why I choose Jesus. I don't know of any other gods who have died for their people. But ours has. Muhammad didn't die for you. Buddha didn't die for you. I could go on and on and on. And the thing that's interesting to me is that word love. Just like last week, we defined what our love toward God is supposed to look like, and it includes having him as a Lord, right? But that word love, God uses so many different words and that are all translated as love in the New Testament. We kind of get confused because I love my wife and I love Pepsi, right? But those two things mean very different things to me. and God is drink Coke, blasphemer. But those things mean very different things. I want to mention a couple to you. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 15, Moses said this to the people of Israel. He said, "The Lord chose your ancestors as the objects of his love." Well, that's nice. That means I'm the object of God's emotional love, right? Sounds really mushy. But it shook the Hebrews to their core. Micah said in here, dozens of times we talk about it in the office all the time, that one of the things I wish we could really do is hear some of these Bible passages the way the people then heard them, right? Because that changes things. And I want to tell you what the Hebrews heard. Because that word love in that passage is the Hebrew word hasak, H-A-S-A-Q is how we would spell it in English. This is literally what they heard. When we read, "The Lord chose your ancestors as the objects of his love," what they heard was, "The Lord binds himself to his people." That the God of the universe has almost literally handcuffed himself to you and said, "I am with you all the time. That's the extent of my love. It's not just emotional. I am yours. And I will commit to that. And I bind myself to you the way that only God can bind himself to you." That's what that kind of love means. And then there's the love of John 3:16, which of course is agape love. It reminds me of the story of Hosea and Gomer in the Old Testament, right? Of Hosea being a prophet of God, a good, godly man, and his wife Gomer, which, what a name for a lady. But we could not describe her as a godly woman, could we? Because she was sleeping with every person she could find while she was married to Hosea. She ruined her life and she shattered Hosea's heart. And finally, she was put up for sale in a slave market. And God ordered Hosea and he said this, "Start all over. Love your wife again. Your wife who's in bed with her latest boyfriend, your cheating wife. Love her the way that I, God, love the Israelite people. Even as they flirt and party with every god that takes their fancy." And so Hosea, with his wedding ring still on his hand, goes and buys his wife back. And I can picture her carrying her spiritually and physically broke down body back to their home. That's a good picture of God. That's a picture of that kind of love. I recently read the story of a first-generation Italian-American man. Everybody called him Pop. His last name was Matteo. He was struggling with metastatic liver and lung cancer. The doctors gave him less than a year. But he was okay with it. He wasn't afraid to die. He had said, "Well, my wife has already gone and my kids are all grown, so I'm okay." Until he found out that his only son was going to have a baby. And the first words he said when he heard the news was, "I'm going to make that." So the chemo was torture. The radiation was no fun either. He had some really, really bad days. But when his granddaughter was born, he insisted on going to the hospital. It was a 90-minute drive, and it was grueling. His son wheeled him into the maternity ward, and his arms were too weak, so his son held the baby girl for him. But Pop did what he came to do. He leaned over, and he kissed her, and he said, "Sheila Mary, Grandpa loves you very much." Within seconds, he fell asleep. Within a couple hours, he was back in the car on his way home, and within a few days, he was gone. It makes me think, what kind of love is it that endures rejection? Like Hosea endured, like God endures. What kind of love resists death just to deliver one kiss? The kind of love that God has for us. So if you're going to ask the question, why would I choose Jesus? There's an answer for you. That's the kind of God that Jesus is. And I pray that you can find him, like so many in this room already have, and like Marshall is about to declare. So, having said that, we are going to sing a song. And while we're singing that, I'm going to invite Marshall and his dad to go on to the back and get ready for this baptism. And you guys can stay up here so you can be right there. It's okay. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And if you need to respond to the love of God, please do that while we sing.